They're coming to get you, Barbara. They're coming to get you.
You are my density. You are my density.
As we approach Halloween, and that opening quote was from 1968's Night of the Living Dead by George Romero. Kind of an interesting little side thing is that when they were doing the licensing or the titling or something, they screwed up. So basically, Night of the Living Dead has always been in public domain. So you could, like, you know, make copies of it and sell it, which I'm sure back in the day, especially with VHS, you know, I'm sure people made a mint off of it. Really quickly, I've got another episode of Mark's Fuck Ups. Now, this is pretty minor league. I mean, on the documentary episode, I said that there was a sequel to Paradise Lost. There's actually two sequels. And I mentioned the movie Jinx, the documentary, and it's actually called The Jinx, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst. One quick thing on The Jinx. I remember I was eating dinner with my mom in Sacramento at this really nice restaurant called Ella. And it was like the night of the final episode of The Jinx. And I went to the bathroom and I was looking at my phone and there was an alert from New York Times on my mail. And it was like, Robert Durst confesses on last episode. And I was so pissed. I mean, tons of people were pissed. New York Times briefly was doing this thing where they would like send you updates like, you know, Rafael Nadal wins Wimbledon or whatever the hell it is. And it was pissing people off. They don't do it anymore. But yeah, they kind of stole that moment for me when I could have watched that on my own and then been like, whoa. So that was, god damn, those bastards. So we are nearing Halloween, so I figured I'd do a couple episodes of horror movies, horror-ish, some slasher, some not slasher, some kind of more thriller, but what the hell? I'm in control here, god damn it. And, you know, Halloween is the season of haunted houses. And quickly, one embarrassing, most of the things that happened to me are embarrassing, but I went to this haunted house in Los Angeles by myself called Blackout. It was kind of a more extreme haunted house. I mean, they can kind of like, you know, touch you and move you and whatever. Nothing like, nothing real violent, but, you know, there is some interaction. And I can get kind of claustrophobic, especially as I've gotten older. Like when I go to the dentist, I need like 50 Ativan to like chill myself out. So I kind of had some reservations, and I had reservations. I bought tickets beforehand. But yeah, so when I showed up, you know, I was a little bit reticent. You're just standing there and they pull you in and you're in this like completely dark room. They have you put a mask on. And then from then on, it just kind of goes. They kind of move you from room to room. And I was doing okay, except for this part where they tie up your hands behind your back. And I could deal with it for like 10 seconds. And then I just panicked. And I said the safe word, which I think was blueberry. And the guy just looked at me. The guy that worked there like looked at me like with such disgust. And he walked me out. And then I saw a girl that I had been talking to in line. And I just kind of waved at her. And she's like, what happened? And I was like, I just, you know, I had to get out. They tied my arms. And she was just like, oh, brother. So, yeah. And I'm actually going to another haunted house like that in San Francisco in a couple weeks, and I'm hoping I don't blow it. I'm going with a buddy from work, so I gotta find a way to get through it. All right, so let's start with 2005's Red Eye, directed by the great Wes Craven of Nightmare on Elm Street and Scream fame, and he's done a ton of other movies. But it's totally entertaining, kind of some comedy, kind of thriller. Rachel McAdams is great in it. She works at a hotel, and she's going on vacation to visit her dad, Brian Cox. And Killian, whatever the hell, Murphy, is this guy she meets in the airport. And he's on the same plane, and they end up being seated next to each other. And there's, you know, they're kind of flirting stuff, and you know, not too long into the flight, you realize that Cillian Murphy is actually, they have her dad, like, you know, they're gonna kill her dad unless she does something at the hotel. They want to like try and assassinate someone or something. And it's totally well done. It's like, you know, a short movie, a lot of it's on the airplane. Totally fun, totally entertaining, and my mom even liked it, so it kind of transcends, you know, I think all ages, but totally worth watching. And just to, you know, embellish my intellectual credibility, I will mention a couple of French movies. Parlez-vous français? I don't, but, you know, whatever, they got subtitles. Inside from 2007, there was also an American remake, but I didn't watch it. It's directed by Julianne Moore and Alexander Bastillo with Beatrice Dolly as this just, she has a really distinctive look, and she's this creepy lady who shows up at this pregnant woman's house and basically is like, you know, that's my kid. The inside the woman, and she basically, you know, breaks into the house, and it's just this cat and mouse game pretty much set just in the house of Beatrice Dolly trying to basically get the kid out of there. You know, it's pretty graphic. It's got somewhat of a sense of humor, but it's well shot. I mean, it's bleak, but it's not unbearable. And then a more traditional kind of slasher, also French, is from 2003, High Tension, Haute Tension in French, also known as Switchblade Romance, directed by Alexander Aja. It's totally fun. It's about this, you know, kind of big, overweight killer, scary-looking dude who's just like, you know, basically following these two girls and just killing people in the process. It's graphic as hell, but super well done. And there's actually, I'm not a huge Muse fan, the band, but they have the song Newborn on the soundtrack in the movie, and it's from the album Origin of Symmetry, and it's kind of a rockin' song, really catchy, but just in the movie it really works. And actually I saw High Tension in Chicago. I was working there briefly for like 10 months as a commercial editor, and kind of fun, I was still auditioning for commercials, and I got a call back for this movie, The Ice Harvest, and so when I went to show up, it was just me and the director, Harold Ramis. You know, totally legendary figure, Caddyshack, Ghostbusters. Well, he'll be discussed in the future, but just a total legend. He was totally cool, though. He was like, do you think you can improv a little bit, you know, if we do it? And I was like, yeah. He didn't have me improv, but he just asked if I could. So I could have been lying. But yeah, that was cool. The Ice Harvest, the movie, though, actually kind of stunk. It was with John Cusack and Billy Bob Thornton, kind of a noir-ish thing, not, you know, some comedy elements, but it was kind of outside of Harold Ramis's wheelhouse. And I like David Lynch pretty much. I admire his movies. I admire him, but I don't love his movies. But I do like 1997's Lost Highway, or at least like the first 20, 30 minutes. Bill Pullman and Patricia Arquette are in it. And Robert Blake plays the creepiest little dude ever in it. He like has makeup on and he shows up at this party and he's just like walks over to Bill Pullman and he's like, you know, I'm at your house. And he's like, Bill Pullman's like, okay, man. He's like, here, call. And then he calls and he's like, hello, or whatever. But it's amazing. The rest of the movie gets kind of weird. Like Bill Pullman gets arrested and then he turns into Baltazar Getty, the actor, and I don't know, it gets a little goofy, but it's worth watching. And if you like that surreal type stuff, you'll probably like it. And I always meant to go to this restaurant in Los Angeles, Vitello's, this restaurant where Robert Blake supposedly shot his wife, but I never made it out there, and it actually closed. So whenever you think of horror movies, a lot of times you'll think of zombie movies. And there was a great one from 1985, Return of the Living Dead, directed by Dan O'Bannon. It's not actually related to Night of the Living Dead. It's more of a spin-off, but it's not like, you know, an authorized remake or anything. It's got some like punk rock elements. These kind of goofballs at a military storage facility spill some kind of gas and it like turns people into zombies. Yeah, it's fun as hell. I saw it in the theater. It's got the kind of scream queen kind of sex symbol, Linnea Quigley, who's kind of like a big 80s figure. Another great one is 1985's Reanimator, directed by Stuart Gordon with Jeffrey Combs as the scientist Herbert West, who figures out a way to reanimate people. And it's just great stuff where he like, you know, he reanimates this asshole boss of his and the guy's got his head cut off, but he picks his head up and it can still talk and stuff. It's pretty cool. And I actually saw Reanimator, the musical. They did a version of that in Los Angeles, and it was fun as hell. I mean, the songs were great. Yeah, almost like the movie Heathers had a musical. I saw that in New York, Heathers the musical. Totally fun. Sometimes they really nail that. And then in 1985, George Romero did Day of the Dead, which is a sequel to Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead, and he's in a couple other sequels after that. But yeah, it's pretty shocking. The violence is just, it got really advanced at that time. And Tom Savini is the makeup artist who's a legend. He actually acts in the movie as well. But yeah, it's graphic. It's about these scientists in like a missile silo who are kind of experimenting on zombies. And there's like zombies outside the place that are trying to break in. And the movie was like restricted to 18 years or older at the time. And so I had my grandma buy tickets for us and we went in and saw it. My poor grandma. And so anyway, my grandma, you know, she didn't really like the movie or anything, but we were sitting there and at the end it gets really violent. We're like ripping someone open and pulling out his guts and it's real realistic. And so I heard something and looked over and my grandma was dry heaving in the theater. And I was like, oh my God, you know, I didn't like go out of the theater with her, but I was just like, hey, go to the lobby. It's almost done. So yeah, I was a terrible grandson. No, I'm just kidding. I think I was a good grandson, maybe even a great one. No, probably not. But another embarrassing little moment was when I had my grandma buy the 1992 Madonna book, Sex, at the bookstore for me. It was like this coffee table thing, just softcore, totally lame, just polished, just S&M light pictures, just terrible. And so, you know, I was like, oh, can you buy that book for me? It was like this huge silver like cover. And while she was buying it, I think it was at Barnes & Noble or Walden Books, I don't know. And so I looked over, kind of peeked over from outside the store. And then as I was peeking, like perfect timing, my grandma kind of looks over and points over. She's like, oh, no, I'm buying it for my grandson. And I was like, oh, shit. And I like moved my head back and just didn't look back again. And so, you know, but the girl was like, the cashier was like a girl and she kind of looked over and saw me and just, you know, I think was just like, oh, God. But yeah, so anyway, you know, that happened. All right, let's get back into some movies. From 2001, Frailty, with Bill Paxton, and actually directed by Bill Paxton, the great Bill Paxton, which will be mentioned in the future. It has Matthew McConaughey in it as well. And Bill Paxton is kind of this religious nut who, like, thinks he can see who demons are, you know, in people, and he starts killing them. It's pretty well done. Kind of flew under the radar, but there's kind of like a cult following to it. But it's pretty sweet. And another one from 2021 is Antlers, directed by Scott Cooper with Jesse Plemons and Kerry Russell. It's like this little kid who has a secret, and there's this demon, kind of a wendigo that gets passed from person to person. It's kind of a slow burn, but really well shot, looks really great. And I don't know, I totally fell for it. So yeah, I would definitely check that out. But an absolute classic that must be seen by everyone is 1985's Fright Night, directed by Tom Holland. It's with William Ragsdale, Stephen Jeffries, who actually later got into gay porn, Chris Sarandon as the vampire, and just a great Roddy McDowall as this like TV vampire hunter that William Ragsdale kind of teams up with to try and fight the vampires. It's funny as hell. It's scary. So amazing. And there was actually a remake of Fright Night in 2011 with the dearly departed Anton Yelchin and Colin Farrell, directed by Craig Gillespie. It was actually decent. I mean, the first one is great, but the second one, you know, is worth a watch if you really like the first one. And actually, back in my acting days, I was the kind of the lead actor in this Bud Light commercial directed by Craig Gillespie. It was kind of funny. I kept screwing up this one line. I was supposed to be, I'm just here for the Bud Light. And I kept saying, I'm just back here for the Bud Light. Fuck. I'd be like, God damn it. And yeah, so eventually I got it down. But yeah, it was a cool commercial. It didn't air a ton, but you know, there was like a ton of extras. It was set at like a fashion show or something. But it was funny, the kind of like the lead model girl that was in it, her trailer was next to mine. It was connected. And yeah, she had like stomach problems and like diarrhea and stuff. So I'm like listening to her, like, you know, having diarrhea. And I was just like, okay, another Welcome to Hollywood moment. And speaking of Anton Yelchin, he actually died pretty young. He was like leaving his house and the gate opened and he went back to get something and the gate closed on him and he wasn't able to get out. He actually had like a cystic fibrosis, so that may have played a part in his just not being able to move or he got stuck there. He was in a great movie, Green Room, 2015, directed by Jeremy Saulnier. It's like a punk band playing in this like little place, and it turns out they have to like fight these neo-Nazis. It's got some slasher elements to it. It's got a heart. It's well done. And Patrick Stewart is great as a villain in it. All right, I'm going to keep this episode fairly short. So a few more movies. 1994's Wolf is pretty great. It's kind of a big budget, kind of, you know, werewolf movie with Jack Nicholson, who's still at the height of his powers. Michelle Pfeiffer and James Spader plays this great kind of turd of a coworker. It's directed by Mike Nichols, who kind of interestingly enough, his first movie that he directed was called Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? And yeah, that's with Richard Burton, Elizabeth Taylor, total classic. Another complete classic is 1976's Carrie, the original, not the remake, directed by, again, Brian De Palma, the great Brian De Palma. Sissy Spacek is in it, John Travolta, William Catt, Nancy Allen, and Piper Laurie as the mom, the spooky-ass mom. And actually, Piper Laurie just died a couple days ago, so rest in peace, Piper. But yeah, Sissy Spacek is just made for the part. I mean, she's, you know, cute, but has like a spooky element to her. And yeah, it's just like there's the scene at the end where she loses her shit at the prom because they kind of play a prank on her, and there's split screens, and it's just like a masterclass in horror. Totally worth watching. The end has a great classic jump scare. And I've always been a fan of the soundtrack by Pino Donaggio. It's got this kind of heart-wrenching melody. And actually, there's lyrics to it as well. But the song goes, I never dreamed someone like you could love someone like me, which kind of gets into, you know, Carrie's mindset, because, you know, she's kind of an outcast, and this guy asked her to go to the prom, and it turns out it's kind of playing a trick on her, and it just hits you in the gut. You know, you're hoping like the best for her, and it's like, God damn it, these sons of bitches are just fucking with her. But it's totally worth watching. And this one is kind of under the radar-ish. I mean, some people know about it, but it's called Session 9 from 2001, directed by Brad Anderson. I saw it in the theater, actually, and just loved it from the get-go. It's got David Caruso, who will be mentioned in future episodes, Peter Mullen, Josh Lucas, and Brendan Sexton III, who was also in Todd Solondz's Welcome to the Dollhouse. It's like a cleaning crew in an abandoned mental hospital, and it's just there's spooky shit going on, maybe some ghosts, maybe one of them's a killer. It just shot really well. It's tense. I think it was shot on video, actually, but I thought it looked great. But there's this amazing scene where Peter Mullen is kind of, you know, going through this little cramped area looking for someone, and he hears a voice in the distance, and it's like, what are you doing here? And then as he kind of gets closer and closer to the character, you know, it keeps getting louder. What are you doing here? And then when they show the reveal of who it is and why he's like that, oh, man, it's cool as hell. I always like those little, like, short, spooky sayings that even, you know, out of context don't sound weird, but when they're in the movie, it's like, oh, that's cool. Me and my friend used to shoot little videos, me and Scott, and we were shooting something in, like, a racquetball court at its complex, and we had like a flashlight that we were moving around, and anyway, I came up with this line that I thought was kind of cool at the time, and it was like, this might hurt. And so now whenever we talk to each other, like, you know, once every 6 months, one of us will just go out of nowhere, this might hurt. And I know we all have those sayings that we have with our friends that we kind of bring back, you know, every once in a while. Me and the same Scott actually worked on a film shoot. And as we were driving back, I don't know, we were, you know, we had walkie talkies and we were talking to someone else in the back truck. And we were like, you know, hey, we're going to drop it off here, blah, blah, blah. And the guy was kind of a surly old dude. And he was just like, whatever. And so now, just in the middle of conversation, one of us, me or Scott, will generally say, whatever, about, you know, every 6 months. All right, so next week I'll bring up some more movies, some hopefully more under-the-radar ones, and some bigger ones that just should be seen. And to end, I will quote Nancy, played by Heather Langenkamp, from 1984's Nightmare on Elm Street, directed by Wes Craven. Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.